Hey, this is Nathan Jenkins from Loon Mountain Ministry, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. We welcome you to join us, the trees, the rocks, and all of creation, as we worship our great God. Enjoy the message.
Good morning, everyone. If you flip to the front of your bulletins, we have scripture. We're going to be reading from Matthew, Romans, and Philippians. And we're outside now, so if you want to use your outdoor voices to read along. All right. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. Christ is the culmination of law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Thank you, Amber. Well, if you have been watching us online, you will know that we've been going through the book of James. The book of James is in the New Testament. It was written by Jesus's earthly brother. It's a beautiful book written in humility. You know that it was written in humility because James does not claim to be the brother of Christ, which would have done amazing for his sales of the book, right? He was not on a book tour claiming to be the son of Jesus. I mean, the brother of Jesus. That would have helped his book sales. But he said, I am James, the servant of Jesus Christ. And when you have a sibling, an earthly sibling, that says that they're a servant of their other sibling, you know that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you know that Jesus is who he says he was. So if you're like me, and sometimes you're doubting this whole thing, you find pieces of scripture like that, and it makes you scratch your head, and you go, okay, this is a blood brother who calls his brother, he's a servant of his brother. My brother's my master. That would take an act of God to have an earthly brother do that. And Jesus is just that. He is God. So we're coming here in the book of James, and we're in chapter 3, and we're just finishing chapter 3. And the end, the last verse in chapter 3 is this really interesting verse, and this is what it says. It says that if you plant seeds of peace, you will grow a garden of righteousness. Wow, doesn't that just coming off the tongue sounds amazing, right? If you plant seeds of peace, out will pop flowers of righteousness, right? But if you were here last week, you found out that peace is not so easy to plant, right? So if you look out over here, let's just think about the settlers for a second, right? Let's think about these settlers that came up from the coast, and they were like, things on the coast were getting too much. Maybe the taxes were too high, or the robbery was too much in these little coastal towns they were coming from. They go, oh, we're going to go up into the woods where I can be on my own. I want you for a minute to look out here, and I want you to think, how would the farming go out here? Rough, right? New Englanders, we grow what? Rocks. We are rock farmers. And if you walk through the woods of New England, you will find rock stone walls. You'll find stone walls just going through all these different areas of the woods. It's really actually kind of cool to come across one and think that when you look around and there's all these old growths, right? There's these huge hardwood trees next to a long stone walls. You're in fields. Those used to be fields hundreds of years ago. And those rocks were from the fields. They cleaned those fields of all the rocks and made stone walls. How much work do you think it would be to make a stone wall? Amazing. And the word peace in scripture comes actually from the builders of stone walls. And what the word comes from is when the builder took the last rock from the field, and he looked out over the field, and it was the last one, and he made his way over, and he placed it on the stone wall. And he took a look at the stone wall, how beautiful it was all laid out, and he looked at the now cleared field of stones. And he said, this is shalom. This is peace. And this is a very important lesson for me and for you. Because you and I don't like working for peace. We don't like making peace a choice. We don't like having to clear a field of rocks and bring it to an organized wall. We like peace to happen to us versus for us to choose to make peace. Let me say that again. We would rather have peace be something that happened to us versus taking the time to clear the field to create peace. See the difference? And you might be in a situation where there's a lot of rocks in your field. Maybe it's a kid that's just not doing what you asked them to do and it really is hurting your heart. Maybe it's a coworker that's just really frustrating you, or a boss. Maybe it's a diagnosis that a doctor gave you that just is not fun news to hear. Maybe it's a relationship that you wish would evolve into something else or change. Maybe it's a spouse. Are there rocks in your field? What shalom is it by the power of the Holy Spirit, by being directed by the Word of God, being directed by His Spirit, taking the rocks from your field and making a stone wall. And accomplishing shalom, peace. So though the end verse in James chapter 3 feels really frilly to say, it's nice, like, if you plant peace, you'll grow a garden of righteousness. That's a lot of work. If any of you have planted anything, it is the most depressing thing I think I have ever done. I do not like planting anything. Because think about it, the weather's against you, the soil is against you, the critters that live in the woods around your house are against you. The critters that fly around are everything is against you. It's really depressing. It is extremely depressing to have tomatoes ready to go and then blight comes and molds and ruins them. It's really frustrating to have blueberries ready to go and then you cannot outpick that chipmunk. And you know what's really frustrating? The chipmunk doesn't even eat them. He shoves them into his cheeks and then goes into your garage and puts them in your boots. So then you step in blueberries. It's even worse. It's insult to injury. He took my blueberry from a bush and then put it in my boot in the garage? What a jerk. So planting is very difficult. And this, I think, is the biblical picture of planting peace. It's a choice. It's a struggle. It's tilling the ground. It's moving the rocks. And it's putting it in a row to create shalom. Now, we talked about peace last week. Now, today, we're going to talk about the flower or the product of peace. Peace produces righteousness. It's a really cool word, right? It's either a really big, it's funny. This is what I love about the word righteous, right? Righteous is either this really big church word that your grandmother would use, or that roommate from California in college that was like, righteous, bro, righteous. I just think it's a riot that word is so, right? Either your proper grandmother used the word righteous, or that roommate or the kid that was on your floor from Colorado was like, righteous, bro, righteous. You're like, well, okay, right? And I think it's funny because that kid from California, I went to school in Minnesota, and so I'm from Maine. And so I meet in the middle, and this kid, would be like, righteous, bro, righteous. Then I had this word wicked, and they're like, what? Wicked is just means really? I'm like, yeah, it was wicked hot. It was really hot. I mean, it was wicked cold, And it's so funny that the New Englander has this word called wicked, and the kid from California has this word called righteous. Have you ever thought about that? It's just a riot. And we met in Minnesota, and the people from Minnesota are like, you both are whacked, okay? We are polite here, and we are kind. I love it. Righteousness. You plant peace, you get a garden of righteousness. Well, what is this? Let's just look through the scriptures of what is this word called righteous. And I am going to tell you the story in a nutshell of the scriptures so you can understand righteousness. Here we go. God is perfect. The Bible says that God is absolutely perfect. And what that means is God needs nothing. That's what that perfection means. God absolutely needs nothing. And that's what sometimes we mean when we say the word perfect, right? I'm a skier. Anyone else a skier or a snowboarder? Have you ever had one of those days on the slopes where you just skied all day with friends and every turn was great and everything was amazing, and then you sat somewhere, typically by a fire, with some friends, and you said what? That day was perfect. And what do you mean? You actually mean that it doesn't need anything else. There was nothing else that could be added to that day. That's what you mean by saying perfect. And that's what the biblical definition of perfect is that God needs nothing else. He is perfect. So, what is the most loving thing a perfect being could do? A being that needs nothing. Think about that. This being needs nothing. So this being didn't have to do what? Anything. But what's the most loving thing a being could do? Now, Eunice and I did not connect on this, but you learned from Eunice what the most loving thing a perfect being could do. The most loving thing, think about this, it kind of hurts your brain for a second. The most loving thing a perfect being could do is to create something that needed to be in relationship with the perfect being. Let me say that again. The most loving, selfless thing a perfect being, which needs nothing, creates something that needs to be in relationship with the thing that is perfect. That hurts our human brain because nothing on earth is perfect. Our children, our spouse, us, our neighbor, our parents, our mom comes close, but not quite, right? All these things, we don't have an ability to measure that. But that's what the most unselfish thing, that's the most beautiful thing a perfect being could do, is to create something, another being, us, hello, human beings, right, to need to be in relationship with the perfect being. Now, because it's true love, God gave you and I a choice. You heard me pray about this morning, right? These evergreens, they don't have a choice. This evergreen can't say, well, are you kidding me? All we are paper products and candles. I would like to be in a pie. I would like a pine pie. Would you like a pine pie? No. Does not sound fun to me. But would you like an apple pie? Oh, yeah. I would love an apple pie. So this evergreen, well, I want to be in a pie. No, that doesn't have a choice. It is an evergreen tree, and it will point to its maker as its design. Now, what's beautiful about true love, and when Eunice says we were created in God's image, the humans were created in God's image, we were giving a choice. See, that's true love. Don't you want your kids to choose to love you versus to be forced to love you? That's not love. It's manipulation. God's the same way. That's the heart that we have from God. God gave us humans a choice. And then what did we do with that choice? We chose to love moi. We chose to love me. We chose to love ourselves. I chose to love me, right? We chose to love ourselves. Now, God created us to be in relationship with Him. You know what that's called? Righteousness. Righteousness is right relationship. That's what righteousness is. Right relationship. And you know what American church needs to know the difference between? Rightness and righteousness. Very different. And we confuse them all the time because the moralistic Christian of America likes to be right. I like to have rights and I like to be right. Neither one is righteousness. Get it? Righteousness is being in right relationship with God, right? And you can feel that in your marriage. Now is it starting to kind of make sense that when you sow seeds or when you plant seeds of peace, you harvest a relation, you harvest righteousness? Think about your marriage. Righteousness is when you and your spouse are in right relationship. How beautiful is your household when it has righteousness between you and your spouse? I'm guessing that righteousness was planted by what? Peace. Choosing peace. See that? Keeping in the right relationship? So when God created us in the garden, we had right relationship with God. And then what did we do? We chose our own way. You don't think you've chose your own way? Ask your parents. And if your mom's not willing to tell you, ask your roommate. And if your roommate's not willing to tell you, ask your spouse. They will tell you. And if they can't tell you, your teenage kid will. And so when we chose our own way, we could no longer be in right relationship with God. Because what did I say about God in the beginning? He was what? Perfect. What can't a perfect being have in their presence? Unperfection. Then what would happen? They would not be perfect. And then what would happen? The whole thing would break down because the people that need God to be perfect couldn't rely on him anymore because he wouldn't be perfect because he was in the presence of the unperfect thing. Did you follow? I know that was a lot. So unrighteousness happened. We broke out of relationship with God. And unrighteousness passed upon all of us. We are heretically unrighteous. Let me say that again. We are heretically, we are born outside of a good relationship with God. But, greatest verse in all the Bible, but God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He wouldn't let us stay in unrighteousness. He gave his son. Now, what does his son have to do? You read some verses that talk about Jesus being the righteousness of God. This is what you have to understand. Being in right relationship with God requires something. It requires you and I to completely fulfill the law, meaning you and I to be perfect. We can only be in right relationship with God when we're perfect. Does that ever feel the same way in your marriage? I can only ever be in right relationship with you when I'm perfect, right? That's where the analogy breaks down when two beings that aren't perfect are together. That's what's bizarre about being in relationship with a perfect God, okay? But here's what's beautiful. We all talk about this, that Jesus took our sin on the cross. He did. But if Jesus took our sin on the cross, and that was the whole point of Jesus coming, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, why didn't Jesus just show up on Good Friday, take our sin upon himself, die, then rose again? He would have just had a rough weekend. Have you ever had a rough weekend? Yeah, that would have been a really rough weekend, taking the sins of the world upon you. But he wouldn't have had to live the close to 40 years on earth and dealt with a heartburn, headache, stomach ache, you know? The Son of God experienced indigestion. Poor guy. Imagine being perfect and having to experience indigestion or having to experience all the things that we do here on a broken world, being bit by a black fly. Yeah? I wish that Jesus on earth was come to New England. Because I think if Jesus on earth was come to New England, got bit by a black fly and said, hey, Dad, shouldn't have made those. Let's cancel that order. Can we cancel that order? Yeah, right? But he didn't. At any rate, here's what I want you to understand. Jesus died for our sins. Get this, it's huge. Jesus died for our sins. But he lived for our righteousness. Let me say that again. Jesus died for our sins. He took the sin and shame of you and me on the cross. And he took our punishment. But he only could do that because he had lived a perfect life. That's the only way he could do it. And that's how you and I get righteousness. And you hear Paul talking about it right here. Praise be to God for Jesus, because I cannot be righteous. But I can take on the righteousness of Jesus, which is obtained by what, Paul said? Faith. Faith. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we confess with our mouth that we are sinners and he is Lord. We open our lives up to the control of God. Say, I want to be under your rule and I want to be under your reign. You are in control. Take the wheel. Right? Here you go, God. You have it. We receive the perfect life of Jesus Christ, which allows us to be in right relationship with God. That is just incredible. And that's the truth of the scriptures, is that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. We took on Jesus' righteousness through our faith, his sacrifice. So beautiful. And that's the truth of the scriptures. So, have you done that? Have you intentionally said, Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you, and I am going to put my faith, hope, and love in you. I want your righteousness, Jesus, because I admit I can't. I don't have righteousness. I do not have a correct relationship with God. Can you admit that? Can I admit that? And I need your righteousness, Jesus, and I thank you for dying for me. for my sin and my shame, my guilt, and you put it upon yourself. And I thank you that you were fully God. That meant you could rise again from the death, and you conquered sin, you conquered death. You lived for my righteousness, you died for my sin, and you rose again for my life. That's the story. That's the beautiful story. That's why all this was made. That's all points to that. And that's what James, the brother of Jesus, was talking about when he closed chapter 3. Plant seeds of peace. Grow a garden of righteousness. And when you confess your sins with your mouth and you believe in your heart, that is planting a seed of peace with God. Do you need to make peace with God? Do you need to make peace with God? Do you need to plant the seed of peace with God? So that you can harvest, so that you can have flowers of right relationship with God. That's what the brother of Jesus was talking about as he closed out chapter 3. Jesus, we love you. We thank you for your brother. We thank you that if we follow your word that you've given to us, if we allow ourselves to be humbled and plant seeds of peace with you, that you will give us a right relationship with you through your son, Jesus Christ. That is absolutely incredible, God. It's not of me. It's not what I've done, what I can do, but that I just fall into your grace, that I've saved and that you've given me mercy and that your mercy extends beyond. Because you know what, God? The weeds of my life really want to choke out this flower of righteousness. I've got so many weeds in my life, God, that want to choke out this flower of righteousness. But praise be to God, I've got a gardener. Help me to be humble and let that gardener do its work. Thank you for this morning, this space, that we can be out in your creation. Thank you for your living room, that you accept all of us. Help us to put our faith in you. Thank you for your righteousness, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We here at Loon Mountain Ministry are committed to loving God, serving community, and enjoying mountains. We want to thank you for being a part of our collective high five this week as we seek to be a light in the White Mountains and all around the world. Please feel free to reach out to us at info@loonmtnministry.com so we can get more connected. See you guys.